Mathematician and philanthropist Karel Janeček runs the firm RSJ Algorithmic Trading, one of the world's biggest financial derivatives traders of its kind. Located on just two floors of a building in Prague's historic Malá Strana district, the company has an annual turnover more than 230 times bigger than the Czech Republic's budget. Last year, the 38-year-old entrepreneur established a foundation to support science and research, while recently he created a fund to fight corruption in the country by supporting whistleblowers. Last week, the fund awarded 500,000 crowns to Libor Michálek, who disclosed a corruption case at the Czech Environment Ministry. I sat down with Karel Janeček at his company headquarters and asked him what made a successful businessman like he was launch a private campaign against corruption.
As a person, I always try to solve things that I do not like, that make me upset. And corruption in the Czech Republic has unfortunately reached enormous volumes. It's very huge and it's devastating the economy of the Czech Republic. So I have been thinking about it for a long time, for a year or two, and I realized that I am in a unique position because our business is completely independent of the state government and of state employees. So that's why we have a unique opportunity to change something. And because corruption is something that is extremely bad for my country, and I don't like it, it makes me upset, so I decided to do something against it.
Why did you decide to establish a new fund rather than supporting one of the existing NGOs, for example, Transparency International or some of the Czech anti-corruption initiatives? Why did you go for your own fund?
Well, if I do something, I try to have it as much under control as possible. And frankly, I am a little bit afraid that a lot of the NGOs are not very effective. They are fighting for survival. And as I've said, I have trust in my skills and skills of my employees. So I believe that that might be the best way to go against corruption. And also I believe that public support of a successful businessman might attract other people as well.
Your fund should really support whistleblowers that will bring attention to corruption cases, whatever they are. And last week you awarded the first sort of prize or award to Mr. Michálek, who blew the whistle on the Environment Ministry some months ago. Have you had any more people contacting you since you announced the creation of your fund?
We have had quite a few people contacted us. As you probably know, the fund officially started like 10 days ago, so we could not still look through the cases, but we do have several more people who have contacted us, and we will look into that this upcoming weeks.
What do you think could realistically be done and should be done in the Czech Republic in terms of curbing corruption? What are the measures that you would suggest the government introduces that would not be that difficult to introduce and would curb corruption at the same time?
There should be a lot of legislation changes and rules of state business, how state gives business to outside parties. Two specific cases that we know about, easy ones, would be the cancellation of bearer shares in paper form. There are only three countries in the world, one of them being in Nauru with 7,000 citizens, one of them being Marshall Islands with 60,000 citizens, and the third one being the Czech Republic, that support this kind of bearer shares in its paper form, which is, of course, extremely bad. It has no economic meaning. The only reason why these shares exist nowadays is to use it for corruption, for bribing. So that's one of the things that should be cancelled. The other thing that we will publicly support is an analogy to a False Claims Act in the United States, a law that supports whistleblowers and protects whistleblowers. The support and protection should be done by the state. In this sense, our private endowment fund will substitute state. But of course, we will try to extend as much pressure on the government to introduce these new laws. It may be that other countries in Europe do not have these laws, but we have big problems with corruption, so we should go for that.
Most of the things you mentioned have to do with legislation. Are you planning to lobby among politicians for these legislation changes?
In a sense, you could call it lobby, but it's more that we will introduce our opinions through public media, and it is a pressure from downside, pressure on the government. So if many people call for this change and we will try to motivate people to raise their voices, then the political parties will be forced to do something, and simple reason is they will not want to lose voters. So, and this is actually something that's a very positive thing about our society. Since the last year, people are raising their voices much more. So I believe that the Czech society is ready for a change. If you compare it to the situation 5 years ago, people could occasionally say something against corruption, but they would not think that this can be changed. But nowadays, people are stepping into it, and we would like to support them from communication, but from media point of view, as much as possible.
Whistleblowing in the Czech Republic might be a bit tricky, given the country's history and the four decades of communism, where any such activity reporting to the authorities really was, of course, considered and was morally quite bad. Aren't you afraid that people will still be afraid to stand up and say this is wrong and sort of call the attention to some problems because of this kind of stigma this activity might bear from the past?
That's a very good point. The way I observe the situation, I think there is a deep hang-up from communism among our people. Many people, and even those who are not corrupt and are relatively smart, but they are somewhat afraid that whistleblowing is some kind of selling out. And that's a completely absurd way of thinking. If you imagine, you can see robbers stealing from your neighbor's house. And if you call the police, are you selling out? Is this something bad? I mean, every person in right mind says, of course you should call the police. Corruption is the worst kind of theft. It's much more dangerous. It's much worse than people stealing from houses or pickpocketing. So obviously people should call the police, and the brave people should try to get evidence. So this, I think that's one of the big things that the endowment fund needs to do, to change thinking of people in this sense a little bit, to explain to them that announcing corruption, whistleblowing is a brave thing. And of course it is very good, and it is only positive.
Well, a successful anti-corruption fund would be a great vehicle for entering politics. What are your plans in this respect?
As of now, I have no plans for entering politics. It might change, of course, in 5 years, but I plan to successfully start the fund to have some control under it. On the other hand, I cannot spend full-time working for the endowment fund, which I have done for the last several months. And unfortunately, that's not that good for my business. So I want to get back with most of my time devoted to RSJ.
You are the founder and owner of RSJ Algorithmic Trading, which, as I've learned, is one of the world's biggest algorithmic traders. Are you so successful because you came up with the best mathematical model, or are there other reasons as well?
RSJ is trading on the world derivative exchanges, where indeed we are perhaps one of the largest or even the largest around the world. And the reason for that is that we have done our work correctly and systematically, and it is about the background of our people. They are top scientists, mathematicians, and the way the trading works, it is a big set of pointers. It is not one algorithm, it is a huge number of algorithms that work all together. It has been an evolvement of the last 8 years. And it turns out, apparently, that competition is not that efficient, and we are successful, that's why.
Financial derivatives caught a lot of blame for the recent financial crisis, where people were saying that it was the greed of those who designed these derivatives and who traded with them that sort of ran the whole system down. How do you see that criticism, and were you or your company affected by maybe the regulation that was put in place in many places, particularly in the United States after the crisis?
Indeed, trading in derivatives, but we have to stress and point out that OTC, non-transparent over-the-counter derivatives, was one of the factors that contributed to the financial crisis. I would like to stress, however, that it was not the main reason of the financial crisis. The main reason was living on debt. It started in early 2000, when in the US there were too low interest rates, etc. The reasons are well known, and people were living on debt. The factor of the OTC derivatives was that it deepened the crisis. If there were not non-transparent OTC derivatives, the problem would have probably emerged earlier. Okay, so the derivatives in, let's say, enlarge or deepen the crisis. However, It was the case of the non-transparent OTC derivatives. On the other hand, if we talk about the derivative exchanges, which are fully transparent, that's actually the opposite. That is why the current regulation, like the Dodd-Frank Act, is trying to move as much trading as possible from non-transparent OTC to derivative exchanges. And this is actually very positive. So this for our company, this is actually good. Of course, there are a lot of things, as always in regulation, which are not rational, a lot of alibistic issues. It is more, I'd say, even in Europe, there are some voices that that would like to do things that are not simply rational. We as a company, our trading was influenced by the financial crisis negatively in 2007, before the actual crisis started. In the summer 2007, the futures market of interest rates already knew about the troubles with mortgages, and there was huge volatility and unexpected changes. So we had some troubles with that. Later in 2008, our models were already adjusted, so we were fine after that.
You are a very wealthy man. How strong is the temptation, and do you feel the temptation at all to just leave everything behind and spend the rest of your life enjoying what you've earned?
No, I don't think this temptation at all. I would be very, very bored. So that's out of the question.